is Go Beyond, the teaching and preaching ministry with Pastor Michael Urisha. Michael is an international speaker, songwriter, and the senior pastor of the Judah Ministries International Worship Center, located in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. If you are ever in the greater Pittsburgh area, please come and visit us. Let's now join in with the Judah Ministries praise team at the Worship Center.
We ask this all in the matchless holy name of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody in the house of Judah, shout amen.
Amen.
While you're at it, put your hands together and welcome in our online congregation. We got them coming in from Kenya and Pakistan and India and Tanzania and Zambia. We got them coming in from all over the world. Hallelujah. Even the island of Haiti. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. So this morning we are continuing our study of the Holy Spirit. The study of the Holy Spirit today is message number 3, and we are going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit of God. The gifts of the Spirit of God. If you have your Bibles, and how many of you know when you come to church you should bring your Bible? Well, just a couple amens there.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, my brother Jack. Stay right there, brother. I'm going to need an amen corner here today. Don't move. If you don't have one, please see us after church. We will give you a Bible. But how many of you have a smartphone, a cell phone? All right. Just a few of you. No excuses. You could download Bible apps for F-R-E-E free. So if you have your Bibles, have your smartphones, you could open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as I stated, we're going to speak about the gifts of the Spirit of God. We're going to almost stay in that whole chapter all of this morning. Week 1. We learned that the Holy Spirit wasn't created on the day of Pentecost. Amen?
Amen.
However, he was in the beginning with God as the Trinity. We learned in the beginning, at the verse of your Bible, in the beginning God, in the beginning Elohim is a plurality word meaning gods in a plural, but we define that as through that study that it's 3 in 1, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit didn't come in Acts chapter 2. He was in the beginning with God because he is God. Last week, we discussed about Jesus saying that he was going to go away, and that unless he goes away, he will not be able to send the Holy Spirit to us. But we know that he went away, and he sent the Holy Spirit to us. Some of your Bibles call him the Advocate. But what we learned, it's two Greek words there. It's the parakletos, coming from two Greek words. Para mean coming alongside. And secondly, kaleo, which is a legal attorney or like a judge. So the parakletos, our attorney, our Holy Spirit who goes alongside with us, he is informing us all the time about our legal document, which is your Bible. Somebody say amen. This is a legal covenant. It's a legal covenant, and we have a parakaleo that Jesus sent to us to be with us forever. So this was the outpouring of the baptism. That's what we were speaking about. We spoke about the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, and we kind of did a study from Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 4, the birth of the new church, if you will. The other key point that we must remember in our previous study is this, that the primary reason, not the only reason, but the primary reason for the giving of the Holy Spirit is to point a lost, sin-sick world to salvation.
Yes.
Through Jesus Christ. And how does he do that? Well, through you and through I, also known as the Church of Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit within us that we might be a testimony, that we might be a witness to a lost world that is perishing and going to hell. If you're tracking with me, somebody say amen.
Amen.
So last week we used Peter as our example. Obviously we know that they were all saved, all the disciples, but when they went into that upper room on that Pentecost day, something happened and they were transformed when they were received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we went through that last week, Acts chapter 2. So I say that to say there is another baptism, if you will. There's the baptism of water, there's a baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is separate from salvation. We're going to get to that in another message. But this morning I want to speak to you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say the gifts. So we're at 1 Corinthians, we're at chapter 12. We are going to begin right at verse 1. And as we go through it, I will make some commentary along the way. As we read through the 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me switch these glasses out here. I think I grabbed the wrong pair. Much better. There you are. Hallelujah. All right. So here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." So let me pause right there. The reason Paul is addressing this to the Corinthian church is because of the craziness that was in the Corinthian church at the time, especially pertaining to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to read about in chapter 14 in another message. Plus, the other thing is, the church of Corinth was placed in a city, Corinth, which was a debaucherous city. It was full of debauchery. Listen, this stuff that they do today in our society called Pride Month or Pride Day or LGBT, listen, they had nothing on Corinth. Corinth had the temple of Aphrodite, which they had 1,000 prostitutes there. Male and female. The men dressed up like women. Are you hearing me, somebody? What we're seeing in our society today is nothing new. It's the same devil. Are you following me, somebody? So this was rampant in the city of Corinth. The women, that's why they talked about the hair. Women shouldn't shave their heads. If you want to shave your head, shave your head. The reason the Bible says that is because that's what the prostitutes did. So they didn't want the church women looking like the prostitutes. Are you hearing me? So in other words, you don't come into 525 looking like you was walking the street somewhere. Well. Did y'all get the drift?
Yeah.
All right. So that's what Paul is addressing. But here's the beauty of it. This debaucherous laden city called Corinth, God plants a church right in the middle of it. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. So listen, when I see reports, and I just seen a report that McKeesport's like the fourth poorest city in Pennsylvania, and it's got one of the highest crime rates per capita. Honey, let me hear you. Let me tell you something. You are in the right place. The darker the night, the brighter the light. God placed us here. Listen, it's not the healthy that need the doctor. It's the sick who need the doctor. We haven't been called to be some posh church having a fashion show every Sunday. Are you hearing me? Sometimes we need to get down and dirty. Sometimes we need to hug on some folk that don't smell so good. I just want to talk to somebody. Ooh, they smell like cigarettes. I ain't going to go hug that brother. Did you smell the alcohol on him? Get up in his grill and hug the hell out of him. Come on, somebody. I didn't plan that. No extra charge, though. But listen, this city of Corinth was a hot mess. It was Sin City. So let's go to verse 2. He says, "You know that when you were pagans," how many of you used to be some pagans in here? "Somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say," meaning confess, "you cannot confess that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Amen. "Now there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work." Yes. So, church, listen, because there are different kinds of gifts, there are different kinds of work, there are different kinds of service, because they are all from one Spirit, they should all be working in concert with one another. In other words, we should be complementing each other. We shouldn't be in conflict with one another. Are you hearing me? Now, that's not to say that we don't disagree on certain issues and certain items, and we don't have different opinions, because we all do. We all have different opinions and different ideas about things, but it shouldn't be a constant bickering within the body of Christ. Come on. Listen, I've been around the block a few times. How many of y'all been in some churches? Always conflict, always an argument. The deacons are fighting with everybody. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. But we all got one gift. We're from the same Father. We're from the same Holy Spirit, the same Son. We should be working in concert with one another. Verse 7. Now to each one. Somebody say, each one. There you are, right in the Bible. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, this is speaking to you now. It's speaking to you. To each one, watch this. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. In other words, that gift, that working, that service that is within you should be made manifest that other people could see it. You don't hide your gift. You don't bury your gift. Verse 8, to one there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by this one Spirit. Verse 10, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing or discerning of spirits, to another the speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these are the work of the one and same Spirit. And key, he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Somebody give me an amen right there. So listen, saints of God, don't wonder why somebody else has received a gift or several gifts that you didn't receive. Don't be jealous. Don't be envious. Be faithful to what God has given and entrusted to you. It's God's call whom he gifts. He will judge each of us according to the gifts and talents that we have been given. I want you to do a little Bible study this afternoon when you get home. Read Matthew chapter 25 about the parable of the talents. If you're faithful with a little bit, then he'll be able to trust you with much. Listen, honey, if you can't be faithful with that $20,000 job, you'll never get a $100,000 job.
That's right.
Oh, I just said something there, y'all. Verse 12, just as a body through one has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many parts. Now, Paul talks about a lot of unity throughout these verses. Unity is key. Verse 15. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Verse 16. And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not be for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Come on, Judah, what's my two favorite words? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unrepresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. Come on, here it is again. What's my two favorite words? But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division. That there should be no division. That there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. In other words, there's not a hierarchy. Somebody say amen. Verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So, just because a part of the body, listen, is not seen here on the platform, or just because your photo might not be up on the screen inside or outside, you in the congregation may not even be aware or know certain particular parts of the body. But God says in His Word, they are indispensable. Just because you don't see them doesn't mean, come on, are you hearing me, somebody? It doesn't mean that they don't have great honor. Let me give you an illustration here. How many of you lately have physically seen your own heart? Can you live without it? Even though you can't see it, it's indispensable. Who has saw their brain physically lately? You don't see it, do you? But yet it's indispensable. All the parts, what Paul is trying to get, just because I stand here each and every Sunday does not make me greater or you less. Amen. Somebody help me here. This is not a hierarchy. We all have different giftings and talents and skills, and God has placed us to work as one body. So listen, if somebody feels they are a little hidden or unglamorous member of the body of Jesus Christ, God knows how to bestow honor upon them. Now let me put this little caveat in here for you. Listen, do not look for man's accolades. Listen, our God is the rewarder of the faithful. If you are looking for man's praise, my brother, my sister, if you are looking for man's praise, then you already lost your reward from God. Check out Matthew chapter 6. This is not about glorifying a person. This is about glorifying the King of Kings. Somebody. Verse 27. Now you are the body. And here it is again, speaking directly to you, each one of you, speaking to everybody in this house, each one of you is a part of it.
Yes, amen.
And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers. The first three gifts, listen, the first three gifts, apostle, prophet, teachers, are all centered on the Word of God. Because the house of the Lord must be built on the Word of the Lord. Now, this apostle, prophet, teacher, we could probably inject a different word in there, because this word has got the apostle, you know, the prophet or prophetess, you know, they get elevated in the church today. Come on, am I talking to somebody here? An apostle is more accurately defined in the English language as a missionary. A prophet would be a prophetēo in the Greek. It's a preacher. But it's all based around the Word of God. So God has placed the Word of God at the foundation. First of all, the prophet. Second, the prophet. Third, the teacher who is teaching the Word of God. So the foundation of the house, if it is solid, all the signs will follow after it.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody help me there. So he says, the apostle, the prophet, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing and of helping and of guidance, of different kinds of tongues. Now here comes a bunch of rhetorical questions. The obvious answer is no. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. So let's take a look and drill down on this greater gifts that Paul mentions here. More accurately, greater gifts defined in the English language would be a better, desire the better gift. The word in the Greek language is kriton. Kriton means better, not greater than somebody else. It's just a better. And I've given you this example many times. If you were out in a desert and you were dying of thirst and you were about to die and two people showed up with you, one had a gift of a Rolls Royce, the other one had a gift with a gallon of water. Which is the greater gift? The water. Are you following me? So in other words, if somebody is sick, they don't need a prophet. They need the better gift. Honey, they need you to lay hands on them and pray in the name of Jesus. Are you tracking with me here? You know, if somebody is struggling with understanding a part of the Bible and you're a seasoned saint, you don't just start speaking in tongues to them because you have the gift of tongues. They need a teacher. They need somebody to break down the word of God for them. Paul said it this way. He said, I'd rather that I speak five words to you that you would understand rather than 10,000 in an unknown language. Because it's the better gift for the need that is presented before you. Now, if I came in here every Sunday and I just stood here for 15 minutes or half an hour and just spoke in tongues the whole time, would that benefit you at all? Not at all. But I was exercising my gift, Brother Jack. But would that be the better gift? No, it's not the better gift. So listen, singing in the spirit during the worship service as we do, or when we have a prophetic word or prophesy in an unknown tongue with an interpretation as we do, that is another thing, and we will explore that in another message. Somebody say amen. But Paul's talking about the greater gifts, the better gifts. In the Greek, it's kriton charismata. Charismata. We get the English word charisma from this word. Charisma or charismatic. Now, in the Greek language, charisma does not mean a personality type. Because we use in our English language, that person has a lot of charisma, meaning you're drawn to him, or they have a lot of attraction to them. That's not what the word charismata means. Charismata in the Greek language means the grace gift. Come on, has somebody received the charisma? The grace gift of Jesus Christ that divinely empowers a believer to share God's work with others. In other words, spirit-empowered service to the church of Jesus Christ to carry out his plan for his people. So whether it's missionary work, whether it's pastoring, whether it's teaching, whether it's prophesying, whatever it is, we are divinely powered by the Spirit of God to carry out his plans for our lives. Can somebody say amen? Now let's talk about gifts to the body. We're talking about gifts, listen, in the body of Christ, and gifts to the body of Christ. If the gift is in you, then your gift is to me. It's to others in the body. If my gift is in me, then it's not for me. It's my gift is for you. Our gift is not for ourselves. Our giftings are not for ourselves. They are for the body of Christ. As Paul wrote and we just read, it's for the common purpose. Listen, honey, you've been gifted for a purpose. Oh, come on. Somebody needs to hear this morning. You have been gifted for a purpose. Watch this. God has created you like no other person on earth. Not only are you unique in your looks, nobody has a voice like you. You are unique in your talents and gifts, and among the 7+ billion people on earth today, you are unique not only to everybody on earth today, but on everybody on earth who has passed and everybody on, oh my God, everyone that's to come. What an awesome God. You, listen, are one of a kind. There is only one Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. There's only one Moses. There's only one David. There's only one Mary. There's only one Martha. Are you hearing me, somebody? There's only one. Who in here chose the day that you were born? Who in here chose the hour that you were born? Come on, somebody. Who chose their mother? Who chose their daddy? Well. Who chose what heritage you come from? Who chose your race? Oh, come on, somebody hear me this morning. Who chose what country you would be born in? Nobody in here made that decision. Let me solidify my point in the scripture. Watch this. John chapter 1. I need that up there, Josh. In verse 11, it says, He came, Jesus, He came to that which was His own, the Jews, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, is there anybody in this house that received Him? Let me see your hand. Have you received Jesus? Come on. To all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband or your daddy's will, but you are born of God. Come on, somebody in the house of God. So honey, listen to me. If you're born again, blood-bought, spirit-filled, washed by the Lamb, you are not born by the will of man, but by the will of God. And you are born into this family for a reason. You are born here for a purpose. So I want to encourage somebody this morning. Listen, I want somebody to get free right in here. Watch this. Sometimes you need to shake off your past family history. You need to break that generational curse off your life. You've been born again, somebody. You have a new life. You have a new genealogy. You have a new bloodline. And it comes straight from your heavenly Father, the Father of life. Come on, somebody in the house of God. I don't care what society says about you. I'm telling you what your daddy says about you. Our Father has formed you, and He placed you here, or wherever you are, if you're in Kenya, if you're in Uganda, wherever, Pakistan, it doesn't matter. He placed you right where you are. Listen to all our international guests. Listen to me very clear here. America is not the promised land. Here. And probably a good chance if I was living in some of these other nations, I'd want to come here too. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not disparaging America because I'd rather live in no other place on earth. America the beautiful. But it's not the promised land. So our Father has formed you and placed you here wherever you are for such a time as this. In this season, for a purpose and for a reason. And as a matter of scripture, watch this now. He formed you before he knew you.
Yes, yes.
I'm sorry, let me say that again. Before he formed you, he knew you.
Yes.
No one has your DNA. No one has your fingerprint. Nobody smiles like you. Nobody laughs like you. Nobody walks like you. Nobody talks. Come on, somebody. Watch it. Psalm 139. Throw it up there, Josh. I praise you, Lord God Almighty. Why? Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh God, your works are wonderful. Look at me. I will praise you, and I know that full well. So I said that to say each of us are fearfully and wonderfully made. I am his work, and I am wonderful.
I am.
Oh, come on, say it. I am wonderful. Meaning, I know it full well that I am absolutely confident of the fact that I am magnificent. Listen, this isn't some kind of hocus pocus motivational speech. I'm trying to talk the word of God to you, what he says and who he says you are. The Bible says I'm magnificent. I'm awesome. And honey, when I get all dressed up, I'm downright stunning. Listen. Don't mistake confidence for arrogance. There's a big difference there. We should never be filled with pride, but we should be filled with humility. But on the other hand, you need to know who you are. According to the word of God. We thank him. Listen. I want somebody to get free in here this morning. Doesn't matter what your neighbor says about you. Doesn't matter what your mama or your daddy said. Doesn't matter what your ex-boyfriend, your boo. Doesn't matter what your husband said or your wife. Either one of them. Wives, how many? It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what they say. Listen, doesn't matter what some church folk have said about you. Come on, do I get a witness in the house? Listen, I'm trying to help somebody get free here. Their opinion of you doesn't really matter. What really matters is God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, what he thinks about you. And he thinks that you're all that and a bag of chips, somebody. You are the apple of his eye. Come on, somebody in the house of Judah. My. So since we are wonderfully made, look at your neighbor. And say, neighbor, I'm wonderfully made. Come on, look at somebody and say, really, I'm all that.
And a bag of chips.
Y'all may not even believe it. Because that verse says, I know that full well. Know the word of God. So since you're all that, God has given each one of us giftings. We're talking about the Holy Spirit this morning. We're talking about the giftings of God. You're worthy of God's gifts, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done. You cannot earn God's giftings. Let me parse this out for you. There are natural giftings. There are supernatural giftings. Natural gifts are usually obvious to the natural eye. For example, people that could really sing. Or as we say in McKeesport, that could sing. Come on, do I got a witness in the house? People can play music or dance, or they're gifted in the arts or athletics or public speaking, mechanical, building and such. People are given incredible intellect. And listen, these are natural gifts. These are natural. Einstein, that was a gift to him. Are you following me? Yes. It's just a natural gift. Yes. You cannot earn God's giftings. These natural gifts come natural. It's like breathing or walking to them. Here's a prime personal example, and I know my sons always get squirmish when I mention them, but that's okay. When Micah, our drummer, was just 5.5 years old, he played his first church service on drums. 5.5. It was a natural gift. He and our eldest, Josiah, they both started playing when they were only 2 years old or younger, because they used to hang out with me every day in a recording studio, so there was nothing else for them. They'd go bang on the drums, you know? But what I'm trying to say, it's like a fish in water. Are you hearing me? It just becomes very, very natural. So those are natural gifts. It's effortless for them. How many of you know people with natural gifts? It just becomes, so you marvel at their gifting because it comes so easy. It's part of their DNA. We kind of like to say it's their second nature. Now listen, nature, but listen, even though one may have been gifted with natural abilities, one also must cultivate and develop that gift through study, through practice, being mentored. Many times we just see the end result and don't realize how much time somebody had put into their gift. You know, we look at somebody like Michael Jordan, was a phenom. We saw him on the TV during the championship games, but we didn't see the thousands and hundreds of thousands of hours that brother put in the gym shooting foul shots. Are you hearing me, somebody? You know, we have a musical, in the musical realm, we have a word for that. It's called woodshedding, where you would take your instrument and you would go into the basement of your mother's home when you were younger, or you had a place, and you would practice for 8, 10 hours, 12 hours a day. But then all of a sudden you see Michael Jackson with this tremendous, listen, that just didn't come. You don't think he honed that gift?
No.
He had to hone that gift. You have to work. So listen, if you've been naturally gifted in something, don't put it on the shelves. Listen, don't squander your talent. There's a warning for that. In your afternoon Bible study that I already gave you in Matthew 25, go look it up. But now watch this. According to James chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says that all gifts, somebody say all gifts, come down from the Father of lights. All gifts. How many of you know that Beyonce got her gift from God? Garth Brooks, he got his gift, whoever it is, got these rappers that are vile, these Megadeth rock groups, they got their gifts from God. Now the fact that they choose to propagate and glorify misogyny, which is the degrading of women. Yeah. In other words, in the rap songs, they call them B's and H's. Y'all hear me?
Yes.
Oh, it's a part of our culture. No, that's not a part of your culture. That's wicked. Because they propagate sodomy and drug abuse and alcohol abuse and the like, and not glorify God who created them and gifted them. Listen, this is on them. They will answer them. But listen, church, all gifts are given from God. So what you do with your natural giftings that have been given to you, whether it's athletic, musical, culinary, administrative, whatever it is, please don't think for one moment that your gifting is so that people can look at you. Look how great I am. Whatever your gifting is, listen, it is to glorify the one who has created you. That's why God has gifted us. Don't let your favorite song be "How Great Am I, God?" Sing with me, "How Great Am I, God?" Please don't let that be your anthem. So let's dive into spiritual gifts here for a minute. Listen, church, spiritual gifts are just that. They're spiritual. They are supernatural. In chapter 12, Paul is speaking about a spiritual gift of wisdom, a spiritual gift of knowledge, not just basic wisdom or knowledge that you can obtain by study or life experience. The gift of faith, the gift of healing are spiritual gifts. Miraculous powers, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues. Listen, they are all spiritual gifts, not natural gifts. Let me prove my point to you. You cannot go to Bible college and major in performing miracles with a minor in speaking in tongues. You cannot learn the gift of faith in a classroom, my friend. And you cannot teach someone how to interpret a message in tongues out of a textbook. Are you hearing me, saints of God? Why? Because they're not natural. They're supernatural gifts. And listen, just because somebody wants to prophesy because they want to be a prophet, that does not mean that they can go to the school of prophets and learn how to prophesy.
Come on now.
Listen, the school of prophets in the Old Testament with Samuel and Elisha is a study for another day. The gift of prophecy in the that Paul is writing about here is purely a spiritual gift. Now, there are some out there that will tell you the way you learn how to prophesy is you keep prophesying and keep practicing, and eventually you're going to get it right. Well, listen. Blind squirrels find acorns once in a while. So in other words, if I take that thought, you just keep prophesying until you get it correct. So you're telling me to continue, watch this now, to continue to prophesy until I prophesy. But you have schools of ministry, listen to me, that are teaching this today. It's not prophetic. It's pathetic. My. Where in the Bible do you see that? Keep on prophesying until you eventually get it right. Listen, if I prophesy every day of my life, that tomorrow it's going to be 80 and sunny. How many? No, eventually I'm going to be right somewhere down the road. But I'm telling you, church, we have false prophets galore. I cannot almost open my Facebook page and see, today you're going to be the first millionaire in your family. Come on, do I got a witness in the house? Money's coming your way today. And I can see all the hallelujahs. I receive it. Listen, you're being deceived, my brother and sister. You're believing in a false prophet. Here, watch this. Watch. I got to prophesy. I got a prophetic word. Here it is. Go to work tomorrow and money will come your way. Hey, where's all the shouting and dancing? Oh, I see extra money in your future at your second job. There's a prophetic word you could take to the bank. I don't know. I lost my place. I'm sorry. The Listen, saints of God. Before you speak a prophetic word into somebody's life. Now let me parse this out. I'm not speaking about a word of exhortation. I'm not speaking about a word of encouragement or edification. I'm speaking about a prophetic word. Please remember that you are speaking that word as if it is coming from the mouth of God Himself. Be careful. Listen. I'm not trying to discourage the prophetic gift. I'm trying to encourage someone to understand the magnitude and the weight of speaking a prophetic word and then saying, "Thus saith the Lord." See, we lost it in the New Testament where we hold our prophets accountable like they did in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 18. You could go reference later, because if you prophesied and it didn't come true, just as you said, they took you out to the stone quarry. I really hope that there are some false prophets watching by this broadcast today, that you're hearing the word of God. Yep, I'm trying to be nice. But you better shut your mouth. Better stop speaking those lies. Because listen, when you say, "Thus saith the Lord," you better be accurate. You better be right. Honey, listen, in more than 40 years of ministries, I've been around too much nonsense in the church. I've had too many kooky words spoken over me and too much damage done. I've seen too much damage done in the church by these self-proclaimed prophets. They speak a prophetic word into a new believer's life that never comes to pass, then the new believer's disillusioned. Because they're equating what's coming out your mouth as the word of God, and it wasn't. You see, church, that's where we run into a lot of problems in the evangelical church today, or may I say the charismatic church today, the church with the gifts in it, is people manufacturing the gift of the Spirit, people manufacturing the prophetic gift or the healings or miracles. Come on, I know you've seen some of the videos where these big healing crusades and a guy had a little thing in his ear and, "Oh yeah, the sister just told me she has problems with her breathing. Oh, the Lord just told me you got problems with your breathing." Are you hearing me, somebody?
Yes.
It's all over. And it's not stopping. It will get worse. People manufacturing. And God says, listen, have nothing to do with it. If you listen, if you really need a word from the Lord, go to your prayer closet. He'll still be there waiting for you. No, we live in a drive-by society today. I'm going to drive by church and get a word. I don't want to go home and spend an hour in my prayer closet. I got too many TV programs to watch. Let me move on. Listen, the reason many of them do this is not that God will be glorified. Because listen, my God doesn't need to make up miracles. They do it in an attempt to elevate themselves and their so-called ministry. And many times it's cash motivated. Come on, somebody help me. Oh, if you just sow a $50 seed into this ministry today, if you sow a $50 seed, then your family is going to be saved. Now, if you want to double that offering to $100, we'll include this little bottle of holy anointing oil. Wait. We got some holy water that came from the Sea of Galilee for $250. You can. Listen, when that comes on your television, say it again. Turn it off. Yeah, you're going to get my handkerchief with my sweat on it. Listen, these are nothing but hucksters. They're charlatans. They're prostituting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Watch this. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, our last verse. Throw it up there, Josh. Verse 22. He says, many, somebody say many, will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. They even called him Lord. Did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then Jesus is going to look at that and say, get out of my face. Depart from me. Away from me. You evildoer. Listen, church, this is not talking about, what was the girl, 1-800 called the psychic? Dionne Warwick. We know that's false prophecy. We know tarot cards are false prophecy. We know the psychics are false prophecy. Jesus isn't talking about them. He's talking about the people in the pulpit. Oh, listen, saints of God, I know this is a hard word, but you need to have your eyes open to what's going on, because Jesus said this is a great deception coming. He said if the days weren't shortened, even the very elect are going to be deceived. The only way that we are not going to be deceived, saints of God, is if we keep our head buried in our book. So let me wrap this up. Listen, Judah, I don't want to be misunderstood here. I believe this book from cover to cover. I believe that God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. I believe that the world was flooded, and I believe that Noah's ark and the 8 people were saved. And I believe that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone because of their pride parade. I believe that Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and 3 nights. I believe that the Red Sea was parted. I also believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. I believe in his crucifixion. I believe in his death. I believe in his resurrection. And therefore, I believe that the gifts of the Spirit of God are for today. I believe in miracles today. I believe in tongues and interpretation today. I believe there are healings for today. I believe there is prophecy today. But it must be done with decency and in order. As I've said, I've had many crazy words spoken over me in 40 years of ministry. But I've had some very accurate words spoken over my life as well. Very accurate. This was in the 90s. We had a guest speaker. Her name was Anton Sawyer. She was from Johannesburg, South Africa, ironically enough. And I was there leading worship for a women's conference. So while there was about a couple hundred women in the congregation, I just kind of sat back in the sound booth with the brothers. And so she gets up to the pulpit and she says, who put the song list together for today's service? I'm like, you know, sheepishly, you know, come down here, brother. You know, so she called me down and she began to prophesy over me. And she says, the Lord would say that Satan has tried to sift you as with a machine gun. But I will raise up a standard and raise you up. And I will use you to take the people of God up to Mount Zion in praise and worship around the world. That's a word that she spoke to me. She says, but be careful of pride, because pride will cause the fall. That was basically the word. About 6 months later, we were at another church where Darla and I were on staff, and a guest speaker came in from Hyderabad, India. It was Pastor Ben Yehuda Adidala. It's the first time I ever met him. So we did the worship, and then Darla and I, and I think Josiah was with us, we were sitting in the pews. And he called me out. We didn't even know each other at that time. And he called me down to the front and he spoke a word over me. He said, the Lord says that Satan has tried to sift you as with a machine gun. It was the same verbiage. But God said that he's going to use you to lead his people up to Mount Zion in worship. But here's a warning. Be careful of the pride. I had those. They were on cassette tapes. I had those recorded. And I used to listen to them back and forth. I believe, you hear me? I hear the word of God. I believe the prophetic word of God. I've shared this with you before. One time I was up in Leroy, New York, and I was ministering at a church, and I poured out my heart, and, you know, I just ministered as you know, poured my life out. After everybody was gone, I was tearing down my equipment, and this little elderly woman came over to me, and she grabbed me. You know how some of the elderly sisters, they grab you by your neck, and they, like, you know, pull you down, and she got right in my ear. And she says, honey, she says, I know you're going through probably the darkest time in your life. She says, but before it gets better, it's going to get worse. Not a word I wanted to hear. It's not all this fluff and stuff. Do you hear what I'm saying? So listen, I believe in God's prophetic word. Let me give you just a couple of more examples. Darla and I were at Eaton Park after church, and Josiah was an infant. He was maybe a year old. And so we go to an Eaton Park, and Darla went to use the ladies' room, and I was just standing there in the foyer with Josiah. We're leaving, and I'm just holding him on my shoulder, just bouncing him like any father would do or should do. So this little old man, probably my age now, you know, little elderly man walks up. I don't know this guy from a can of paint. And he just lays his hands on Josiah. And he just start praying in tongues. I'm like looking at this guy. Listen, this guy didn't even know if I was saved. He didn't know anything about me. But the Spirit of God touched him. And he began to pray over our son and prophesying into his life. He began to prophesy fire out of that young man's life. Little did he know, his name is Josiah, which means the fire of God. I believe in the prophetic word of God. Darla came out of the ladies' room, and there we are, all of us. We're having church, hallelujah, in Eaton Park. I'm not making these stories up, church. It wasn't probably not even a month later. We were at another Eaton Park. There's a Holy Ghost spirit in Eaton Park, I'm telling you. They need to send me some money for this little spot here. In Dormont, thank you. So we're sitting across the table, or the booth, you know, and Josiah was in his car seat. That's how little he was. And he was sitting on the end of the table. You know how you turn the stools upside down, and he's sitting there. We're just sitting there minding our own business. A little elderly woman comes walking by. She gets her hand and just puts it on his head and just starts rubbing his head. And Darla and I are like, who are you? She just started praying over him and speaking in tongues. She didn't know if we were saved. She wasn't at the church service that we were at earlier in that day. But she began to prophesy over him. Now, how is that prophecy going to be fulfilled? I don't know. He's very aware of it. I don't know how God's going to fulfill that in his life. But that's between him and God. But I know the word of the God that was spoken. Let me give you one more. Just last fall, Brother Q and I, we were in Malawi. I taught a conference. It was the last day. I taught in the afternoon. That evening was the first night of the crusade. So we're sitting there in a front row, and there was a guest preacher in from Cameroon. He was in from Cameroon. Never met him before. Didn't know me. Barbara didn't even really know him. She just invited him in. So this brother was on fire, man, and he's just preaching. Rah, rah, rah. You know, I'm having a hard time with the accent and everything, but he's preaching, and all of a sudden he looks over at me and he goes, Pastor Michael. I'm like, he says, do you have a son named Caleb? Yes. Yeah, and like Barbara's trying to interpret. And he began to prophesy over that young man how God was going to continue to use him in his life. So listen, after all I said, I just want you to understand, church, the prophetic gift is for today. Caveat, be careful. Are you with me? So let's move. We are a full gospel church. We believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. We believe that they are available today. Listen, you can't parse it out and say, well, you know, this gift of wisdom and knowledge is for spiritual gifts are for today, but not the gift of healing. You can't say some are and some aren't. You can't parse that out. But as I said, I think in the first message, there's a difference between charismatic and charismania. There's a lot of charismania that has infiltrated the full gospel church today. I don't know about you, but I'm all after the Kriton charismata, the grace gift that's within me, that's for you, that we might build the kingdom of God together. Amen? Amen. Come on, put your hands together and stand with me, please.
To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation, every generation, to all creation, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ.